How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's a very familiar story. It's, to stop and think about it, a pretty harrowing story to tell Sunday school children. It is one of those that manages to make it in, I think, largely because it has the so-called happy ending. It has a deliverance, like the story that we told last week, the three men in the fiery furnace who are delivered by God's hand. In the same way, it happens for Daniel, who finds himself in the lion's den. It's a death sentence, or at least it's intended to be a death sentence. And yet we are told that the angel of the Lord stopped the mouths of the lions. And, well, when his accusers were thrown into the same den after Daniel is delivered, the lions' mouths are not stopped. It says it killed them before they reached the ground and crushed all their bones. Pretty gruesome story, although we don't usually tell the ending part in Sunday school. We'll tell the whole story here with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
There's kind of a theme here in these Daniel stories of either a temptation or, I think in Daniel's case, more of a temptation to give in on the issue of idolatry or the true worship of God and the consequences that the faithful must suffer. Why is that such an important theme for both those who read Daniel in the Old Testament for us today?
It's an important theme because you cannot break any commandment, any of the Ten Commandments, without always breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The point to be made is, it really doesn't matter, let's say you steal something. What you're doing is you're telling God, and you are therefore taking the place of God. You're saying, I know you gave this particular item to this individual, but you made a mistake. It really belongs to me. Therefore, God, I am correcting your mistake. That's called idolatry. And that is just as bad as falling down and worshiping before an idol, because idolatry has the same consistent teaching all the time, is that you set yourself up as God rather than let the true God be the true God. And therefore, Daniel is a beautiful example, especially in our day when it is really difficult to stand up for the scriptures, when so many people in various disciplines are saying that what the scriptures have to say, or they're nonsense, they don't make any sense. How can you believe such things? And therefore, it takes some courage as Daniel, and remember his three friends in the fiery furnace from last week, exhibited.
So there are enemies here that are trying to, it's reminiscent of what Christ's enemies do in trying to catch him in some kind of disobedience. But there are enemies that Daniel has to deal with who are trying to do away with him. What's their plot?
Yes. Daniel, remember, is a foreigner in this particular area. But when he was captured by the Babylonians and was taken out of Israel, this is not just the first ruler that appreciated him. Nebuchadnezzar made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief over all the magi because of the dream that Daniel had been able to interpret it, as well as Belshazzar, who followed Nebuchadnezzar. He granted Daniel the title of the third ruler in the kingdom because of the vision he had interpreted. So when Cyrus and Darius ended up coming into the area because they had defeated the Babylonians, he planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom because of his excellency. Now, you only can guess what that did to the other rulers who were not foreigners, who were, shall we say, they were the natives of the land. They're known as satraps, S-A-T-R-A-P-S. And when Daniel was distinguished above all the others, well, that did not make them happy at all. And so they were trying to figure a way, how can we show the king, the ruler, that Daniel is not one to be trusted? And so they set up a plan. But as with all plans that are ruled by Satan, God always comes out ahead.
So they have a technicality by which they intend to entrap Daniel, but also to entrap the king to a certain degree. It has to do with how the laws that were promulgated at this particular time had to be obeyed, even if the king didn't want the law to be enforced.
Yes, the law was that anyone, and this is found in chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, that anyone who does not pray to you, they are in trouble. So they cannot pray to any other god or any other man for 30 days. And if they do, they shall be cast into the den of lions. And so, in a sense, they manipulated the king to sign this. And he did sign this document and injunction. Well, Daniel, up to this point, had been able to remain in his customs. He did not eat certain kinds of food. He prayed on a regular basis each day. And when he heard about the injunction, he actually went to his house. He had windows in the upper chamber. He knelt toward Jerusalem three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he had always done. And then these horrible people who had got Darius to write this, they came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. And they said to the king, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered, "Well, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, the thing stands fast and it cannot be revoked." And then they said, "Oh, by the way, Daniel is one of the exiles from Judah who pays no attention to you, O king, and he makes his petition three times a day." Now, once a king makes an injunction like that in those days, he really didn't have the power to change it, and he became much distressed. And he tried to figure a way to deliver Daniel. In fact, it says he labored on this till the sun went down to rescue Daniel. But those satraps, they came by agreement to the king and said, "You know, O king, it's the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. And therefore, the king commanded that Daniel be cast into the den of lions."
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, Daniel in the lion's den. He is cast into the lion's den. We'll find out what happens next and how it is that Daniel can say near the end of this account that God himself had found him blameless and that he had trusted in his God. We'll talk about all of that with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You will find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Orphan Grain Train is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During November, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Orphan Grain Train. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're telling the story of Daniel in the lion's den teaching a Sunday school lesson. Tom, talk about the fact that the king is not only reluctant to enforce this, he is actually rooting for Daniel and saying things like, oh, may the God in whom you trust deliver you, even as he has him thrown to the lions.
The king had become very acquainted with Daniel, his wisdom, his insight. That's why he had done what he had done with him, namely that he had set him over the whole kingdom because of his excellent spirit. That's mentioned in chapter 6, verse 3. And the king probably figured out he'd been manipulated, but because that was the law of the Medes and the Persians, and he was unable to change it, he had to go through with it. And so he did go through with it, threw Daniel into the den of lions. I'm sure couldn't sleep that night. But then he woke up in the morning, and he went right away to the den where Daniel was, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. I think a lot of us miss that. Because he heard Daniel knowing how much he trusted the Lord, and so therefore he thought maybe his God would save him. And he says, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? And then he heard the voice of Daniel, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel. Perhaps the same angel with the three men in the fiery furnace. Shut the lions' mouths. They have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him, which is before God himself. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. And boy, was the king ever glad then. And they took Daniel up out of the den. So obviously it was kind of a hole. The lions were at the bottom of it. They threw Daniel in, but now brought him up. And verse 23 is really important. No kind of harm was found on him. And it doesn't say because Daniel lived such a wonderful life or because Daniel did a lot of good works, but because he had trusted in his God. And then the king commanded that the men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they were brought and cast into the den of lions, their children and their wives. And much like what happened with the three men in the fiery furnace, the king, a different one, wrote to all the peoples, and here's what Darius said, "I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." Now, I know we don't have too much time left, Todd, but I found 13 parallel similarities between Daniel and Jesus. Can I mention them?
Yeah, go ahead. We actually have you on past the next break, so begin.
Oh, I'm going past the next break? Good. All right. One of them, Daniel makes petitions three times a day, and he is accused, therefore, of not believing in the true God. Jesus is accused of not believing in the true God because his petitions are contrary to what a lot of the Pharisees thought he should be trying to do. Darius attempted to find a loophole in the law to save Daniel. Pontius Pilate not only said that Jesus was innocent, but he washed his hands to show that this was now something that he didn't really feel like he should do. Daniel was placed in a tomb-like pit with a stone rolled over it. Jesus is placed in Joseph's tomb with a stone over it. Both of them, they are a place of death for both Daniel and Jesus. But they also become a place of conquering and vindication. Daniel is saved from the lions. Jesus is not only resurrected from the dead, but therefore he is saved from the ferocious lion. The Bible speaks about the devil himself. Daniel experiences no destruction of his body. Jesus, in Acts 2, verse 27, experiences no corruption of his body. In Daniel 6, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, because I was found blameless." Psalm 22 about Jesus, "Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion." And listen to Psalm 22, verse 21, about Jesus. "Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen." Now, I've got five more. Do we want to wait till after the break on them?
No, go ahead and give us the five. I think we've got time here before we break.
Okay. In the morning, Daniel emerges from the den. In the morning, Jesus is resurrected from the grave. And remember, he meets women outside of the grave. Darius came to the den after the night, wondering if Daniel is alive. Women came to the grave after the night, and they were wondering who's going to roll the stone away so they could properly embalm Jesus. Darius is strengthened in the faith. The women are strengthened in the faith when they hear the news from the angel. Daniel is vindicated because of the righteousness of his faith. And Jesus is vindicated because of his own righteousness. Finally, the enemies of Daniel are thrown to the lions. And here's what's heard in Revelation 20 about Satan. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him. So once more, we take a look at these Old Testament characters and their experiences, and we find that Jesus perfects what they were doing to such a level that you and I end up going to heaven because of his death and resurrection.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We continue teaching a Sunday school lesson on Daniel in the lion's den, there to show us not only what God had accomplished for Daniel, but what God accomplishes for us in Jesus Christ. We'll talk about some of those parallels he just mentioned on the other side of the break. We base our conversations with Pastor Baker on a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused, as you can see from Pastor Baker's treatment there of those parallels. We'll get into more of that focus on Christ, and you can find more in Growing in Christ. Ask for a free sample, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Stay tuned.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Daniel in the Lion's Den. A little bit later, Mary Eberstadt will join us. We're going to be talking with her about identity politics. It's easy to dismiss the rhetoric of identity politics and the, well, lack of thinking, the irrationality and emotionality of identity politics. But is there something real at the heart of it, maybe even unwitting of those who practice identity politics? That is the disintegration of the family, wherein, well, at least in previous generations, people got their identity. We'll be talking about that with Mary Eberstadt of Faith and Reason Institute in about 10 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Tom, you gave us a list of parallels between Daniel and the life of Christ before the break, and you said something I want you to explain. You said that Christ takes and perfects these things that are accomplished in and through Daniel in a new and better way. What did you mean by that?
For example, some of the prophets were not absolutely perfect in what they had done. Remember, like Moses hit the rock twice instead of once, and this sort of thing wasn't allowed into the promised land. Jesus becomes the perfect Moses. But the other way of perfecting comes about because while there is a parallel between Daniel and Jesus, the effects of Jesus being put into the tomb has a lot more ramifications for all of humanity. For example, when Daniel was not eaten by the lions and kept out of and brought out of the tomb, nobody else was saved. That didn't have any benefit for anyone else because nobody else was in the tomb with him. But when Jesus went to the tomb after dying on the cross, the whole world was with him because According to the baptism of John the Baptizer, he had carried the sins of the whole world to that cross upon his shoulders. And what really happened on the cross was not that he just died, but he experienced the curse of the law that should have been ours. My God, why have you forsaken me? Therefore, for those who trust in Jesus, God will never forsake. So while the prophets and others like Daniel did some tremendous works that points to the coming of the Lord, while he did those works, had far greater conclusions, experiences, and wonderful effects for all of humanity. So Daniel, when he was put into the lion's tomb, he wasn't dying for everybody, but Jesus did upon the cross. And when they were both released, Jesus' resurrection is the item that we look to so that we too will rise from the dead when we fall asleep in Jesus. In that way, Jesus is a far greater perfecter of the events in his life than the prophets or Daniel ever were.
What do you say to the Sunday school children? Because we're dealing with right now, and most certainly in the generation in which they will become adults and they will be confessing Christians in this world, a world not unlike Daniel's, where not only is their faith in Christ challenged, but they may be asked to make a choice between obedience to authority and confessing Christ. What do you say to them, Tom?
Yes, we need to recognize there's two kinds of righteousness. The one righteousness is to the civil government. God has given the government the right to punish evildoers and reward those who do good. And notice that the evil people in Daniel's day could find nothing he was doing wrong against the government. What he was righteous was, of course, in his own religious practice, praying often, etc. So what happened in Daniel's day could start happening in our day. We've already noted that in some areas, for example, Christians in the military, especially chaplains, they are being criticized for counseling people by using the name of Jesus or bringing in Christian teaching or speaking of the morality that is found in the Bible. Now, these Christian chaplains are going to have to make a decision. Are they going to be quiet about their faith, or are they still going to speak boldly? And fortunately, a number of them are still speaking boldly, and there are defense attorneys trying to protect the right of a Christian to speak his religious faith, even as a chaplain in the military. But I've come across a laity who at work are told that they cannot speak the message of Jesus to their co-workers, and what they've done is they try and do Bible studies outside the work time so that these people can still hear the message of Jesus Christ. And you can hardly open up a newspaper. I mean, the horrible tragedy that happened here in Texas, where a man goes into a church and kills more than 24 people just by shooting them. That's the persecution that often we're going to experience. But as I said on my radio program, every Christian is persecuted, and it's not necessarily because we're saying something about Jesus. It's the fact that the devil is after us for many areas. A lady once was talking to me not too many weeks ago. She said, you know, how come it appears that Christians have a harder time in life than unbelievers have? And I said, well, that only makes sense. Why would the devil go after unbelievers whom he already has? He can kind of leave them alone and hurt them here and there. But Christians, he's going to throw the full weight of whatever he's got against them. And that's why the children need to follow the practice of Daniel. And I'll tell you, they did a very good job of that in the Growing in Christ series of praying daily, because prayer includes not only speaking to God, but also prayer includes reading the Psalms and other passages of the Bible. And in light of this one with Daniel in the lion's den, you can't find a better one than 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And we need to make sure the children realize that even in those occasions when they fail to follow God's word, there's a great Bible verse where Jesus says, though you at times suffer ill and fail, God will never break his promises to you. So you will continue to be blessed. 2 Timothy 2:13 is the best verse here. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. And what is he faithful about? Namely, our baptism. And so as we cling to him, trusting his promises, continuing to pray to him, we have nothing to fear, including that invisible devil who prowls around like a roaring lion.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on God's people going home in Ezra and Nehemiah. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
We're going to be talking identity politics with Mary Eberstadt on the other side of the break. What's behind it? It is certainly young people who have ironically experienced a lot of privilege in their life. It's historical ignorance. It's a lot of things. Is there a deep emotional root to it, and where does it come from? We'll talk about that with Mary Eberstadt of the Faith and Reason Institute after this.
This holiday shopping season, skip the Fruit of the Month Club. Don't fall for any ridiculous as-seen-on-TV offers. Just say no to ugly sweaters. Instead, give your family and friends the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to their mailboxes. Give them the Lutheran Witness magazine. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase subscriptions for Christmas or anytime. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Peace Evangelical Lutheran Church of Chehalis, Washington. Biblical, historic Christianity, whose source is Scripture, whose heart is the gospel. If you're in Southwest Washington, join us for the divine service. You will receive Jesus, crucified and risen again for the forgiveness of your sins. We promise. For more information, call us at 360-748-4108.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.